6 minutes 37 seconds.
Ooh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank y'all so much.
Oh, sorry.
Coming out.
So I'm messing up. Amen. A great praise and worship.
Thank you.
Yeah, you should come over here and give me a kiss.
Yes, the headphones. Yeah. Hit that. Bring that over.
Yeah.
The headphones. This was down.
Hallelujah. No condemnation. No condemnation in his love for us. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap and a praise. I don't know about you. I'm excited there's no condemnation for me.
Amen. I know that's right.
Because of his love. See, the world will condemn us easily, quickly, with no forgiveness. But God. But God. His love, his everlasting love. There's no limit to his love that he has for you and I. In spite of ourselves. Oh,
and then you gotta add it to the
There's
stage.
No greater love.
Okay, you got it.
Like
so
Jesus.
Then hide.
No greater love. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you.
You gotta hide it so you can.
We thank you for this opportunity to be before you today, Father God. You know what we had to do to get here. We know what we had to go through this week. Today, this morning, Father God, but in spite of it, we press, Father God, and we are here now, Father God. Be present here before us, Father God. Speak through this, your man servant, Father God, to let your word come forth, Father God. Let nothing be of me, let everything be of you, Father God. I ask that it be a blessing on those who hear it. Let it go down on the inside, Father God. Let it be shaken up, Father God. Running over, Father God, with the overflow of conviction and understanding of what you want them to get, Father God. And we thank you right now in advance. In Jesus' name, let the house say amen.
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 Glory, glory. We want to pray to keep Pastor Ray and First Lady in prayer, you know, as they resting in God, just getting filled up. They've been busy all year, so they're taking this opportunity before the school year starts back up and have a new endeavor to rest in God, to get rejuvenated, because sometimes we know the weight that we deal with. So just imagine their weight. You know, and we all have different weights, and that's why Jesus reminds us we got to carry our own cross. We can't worry about what somebody else is doing or what they got or what they don't have. We got to carry our own cross because we don't know what it takes to carry your cross. You know, and what we got to do is just be there to help you out if you need it. Amen?
Amen.
You see, that's the part, man. We get so busy looking at other people that we don't pay attention to ourselves.
Jesus.
Give thanks that in spite of what we may be going through, it's not as bad as someone else's. You know, see, we always look up. But we don't look down. And see, the enemy has tricked us, has distorted our vision. You know, that we're so busy paying attention to what someone else has. And not paying attention and giving thanks for what we have.
Amen.
You know what? And why they get this and why they get that and they ain't walking away. They ain't doing everything right. The word reminds us we all fall short. Every single one of us. And the key is not chasing after the things of the world. So if you think about what you envy and what you mad about them is, you upset about what they got in the world. And God wants you to focus in on him. He said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world.
Amen.
And that's the part that we got to get down on the inside. Yeah. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about justification versus sanctification. And understand that with God, Because of Christ, the blood that was shed, we have justification to be before God, to hear God through the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is not here no more. But he said, I'm sending another comforter. And that's through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. So we have opportunities to hear God, to speak with God. We don't have to make no more sacrifices no more. And the sanctification comes in is through your daily walk. Like I said, some of us are here today because we press beyond what we were going through. And we have to die to ourselves. You know, I remember when I was in the street and I used to hang out and I had to get up. I got up. See, but we get in the world, but when it comes to the body of Christ, we make all types of excuses for not getting up. You know, we want to play, but we don't want to pay. You know, and this sanctification, this is the payment that we have to pay. This is the price that we have to pay. We got to die to ourselves daily. So we become new in him. And then we talk about the ungodly. And we all fall short. Not one is without sin. Not one. So when somebody starts talking to you about, oh, you they're better than you, that's a sin in itself. When they start looking down at you, looking at you, that's a sin itself. Our job as a body of Christ is to lift one another up.
Amen.
To help build each other up. But you gotta want it. I can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself. And that's what God is a gentleman. He's not gonna force his will on nobody. Even as parents, we can't force our will on our children. We can give them direction, we can give them guidance, but the bottom line is they gotta make a choice. And that's the same thing with you and I. God is not forcing his will on us. He's giving us an option to choose his will or your will. The way you've been going, or you want to go do a new thing. I don't know about you, but I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing. And I want to keep getting new every season. Every season, I'm going to be doing something new. I don't want to remain stuck. Because, look, we serve an infinite God. There's no end to him. So why should we get stuck? Why should we become content? God is calling us to new levels. Just like our kids mature and grow, it don't stop once you reach a certain age. Who told you that lie? God wants us to continue to grow and mature and become Christ-like. Who want to move mountains? I want to move mountains.
Amen.
There's some things in my way I need out my way.
Amen.
And you have it in you. God wants us to realize that through Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. The word and direction he gives us is for our best interest. However, the enemy has duped us into believing that God, our parents, and people in general are trying to keep us from being who we are. You know, so we always feel somebody trying to hold me back. And the reality is some people do. Some people can't see the vision that God has in you. And they would do anything to stop you because they want you to stay right where you're at. Because there's something in you that keeps them floating. And if you leave them, they're left behind. See, but you got to recognize what's for you. And God reveals that to you. The more time you spend in his word, the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you seek in his face. He will give you direction. He will open some doors that you couldn't open. And that's when you know you're operating in God's will. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You know, I was at my family reunion yesterday, and we celebrated 44 years of coming together. You know, and I had quite a few of my uncles and aunts there who were past 70. You know, when we were reflecting, my grandmother would be 100 this year. My mom passed, she would be 74, you know. And we were just looking at them and all the cousins and that. We're looking at them and like, man, if I get to that age, I'm going to be like that. You know, but this is the thing that Christ wants us to feel about him. You know, so the more we mature, the more we become like him. But you only can get to that if you know him. If you got an expectation. If you know your inheritance. You know your DNA. You know where you come from. So you have an expectation of what it could look like. And Christ was an example of what it can look like for each and every one of us. But it's up to us to make a choice. Because to get there's going to be some sacrifices. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to let go of. It says here, everybody got that scripture? It says here, and I'm coming out in Amplified. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new beginning. I'm going to say that again. The law of our new beginning. It's in an Amplified. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove the penalty and its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit. God did. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own son, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now listen to this part. Fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldly and our sinful nature, but live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power. Guided by his power. He's letting us know that we can put our flesh under subjection. God said you have dominion over the things of this world. And this world, what is our body made of? Dirt. Dirt. So you have power and authority over this body. It don't have power over you. And too often we've given power to our flesh.
Jesus.
And we allow it to have dominion over us and us instead of us having dominion over it.
Talk about that thing.
Adam had dominion over everything on the earth. Everything. There was nothing that he didn't have power and authority over. Nothing. But God just told him, just leave that one thing alone. One thing. And that one thing, and for some of us, it's more than one thing, that we need to leave alone. But instead of us having dominion over this flesh, we continue to desire and chase after it. And that same thing keeps bringing us down, down, down. And we wonder why we're going through the mess we're going through. Because of that thing. That thing. And God telling us, grab hold of this power and authority that you have. He said, there's no condemnation anymore. I'm not holding it against you that you failed to it before. I went to the cross. I died for that. So you're not condemned anymore. Grab hold of the authority. Don't allow it to keep you down. Family, I say God is doing a new thing in me. I don't know about you. Is God doing a new thing in you? Yeah. I need to say that with some authority. Is God doing a new thing in you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, family, we need to be excited about a new thing because you know how when Christmas time came when you were younger, you was excited because you knew you was going to get something or you expected something. This is how we should be feeling about this new thing in Christ. There should be an expectation on you from God, not from man, not from anybody else, but from God that you're doing what he told you to do, so you're expecting a new thing to come about in your life. Is it going to come with a fight? Yes. Because we got an adversary who don't want to see you operating in that new thing. He want to stop you. He don't want to see you operating in your purpose. It ain't stopped at the garden. It didn't stop. If he knew who Christ was, he wouldn't have did what he did. Family. We are no longer being guided according to our flesh, its worldliness and sinful nature. Through Christ, the sinfulness has been subdued and is weakened. We are no longer bound by it. You are here today because you are winning the battle with your sinful nature. Family. There's many other things you could be doing if you wanted to. And some of us maybe even desire to. When I got up this morning, I was like, it's time to get up. Did I really want to get up? That sleep was comfortable. And see, what happens is we can get caught up in our comfortability and miss our opportunity to walk in what God is calling us to. And see, the enemy tricks us with feeling comfortable. And what God wants to do is shift you. Because what he has for you, it's going to feel uncomfortable because it's going to take you out your comfort zone, but it's going to be good for you. It's going to be something that the world couldn't give to you, that you couldn't even give to yourself. Family, as I said, we are no longer bound. Christ has already died, and our present comforter and has given us our present comforter, the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of times we say, sometimes the Holy Spirit can make us uncomfortable. Sometimes he ain't so comforting. And he ain't so comforting because of conviction. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us when we're not operating according to God's will. And that can be very uncomfortable. Truth hurts. Definitely when you feel it's something that you want to do. It says here, conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction says, you are better than this. Let me help you grow. Condemnation says, you will never change. Just give up. Mm. Conviction leads to repentance, hope, and transformation. Condemnation leads to shame, fear, and distance from God.
Mm-hmm.
Family, hear this. That's the difference between God and the world.
Mm-hmm.
There is no condemnation in Jesus. But what it is conviction. It's conviction when we're operating outside of God's will. But it's not to condemn you. It's to give you revelation to do better. And he sends you the comforter to help you and guide you. But too often, we be resistant to it. I pray y'all hear me. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I told you we're going to be in Romans this whole month. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Say amen when you got it, please.
Question.
And it says here,
the picture with
for those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh,
I would just go to the
which gratifies the body. Okay. But those who are living according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. So family, when conviction shows up, embrace it. Because God is trying to tell you something for your own good. He's trying to tell you something for your own good. And the enemy wants you to believe that God is holding that against you. And see, this is the part where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so mad at Jesus. See, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they dealt with condemnation. And they say, oh, we can't touch them. We can't be next to them. No. Jesus said, no, this is what you're doing wrong, but this is how you can get it right. This is how you can get it right. Family, God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing in you. But it's about a choice. He's not going to force himself on no one. No one. Let's open up our words to Romans. I'm going to give you scriptures. I don't want to give you me. I want to give you God's word. Romans chapter 8, chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. See, because God wants us to get it right. He don't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed, and that's how he gets glorified. God gets glory in your success. That's just like a parent. How pr- your children when they're doing good. You know, it's no greater glory of your own. You see them operating and walking in their true destiny and their purpose. And that's what God is looking for us. He wants that for you and I. But we got to want it for ourselves. We got to see Christ in us. Christ said, I only do what I see my Father do. And that's just like a parent. How great it is to see your children doing some of the things they emulate in you. It feels so good, definitely when it's the right thing. That's the greatest gift they can give to you. And that's what God wants from us. It says here, who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right relationship with himself. Who is the one who condemns us? Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty. And more than that, who was raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of God interceding with the Father for us. He's interceding for us. He's fighting for us. Saying, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's saying, Father, I'm not condemning them. There's no one here to condemn them. Just don't sin no more. Don't continue to do what you used to do. Operate in a new thing. Family, we need to be getting excited about this here. Because God is doing a new thing. This is a new chapter. You know, I was with my uncle yesterday. And he loved gardening. He loved farm. He just loved it. My grandmother was one, you know. And he said he did an ancestral thing. And he found out that our great-grandparents, even on his dad's side, were farmers. And I say this all the time. What you need is already inside of you. It just has to be nurtured and matured. Mm-hmm. Developed. You know, God has already placed everything on the inside. One thing he said, though. He said, too many people don't know where perennial plants are and annual. Mm-hmm. Perennial and annual. See, one annual is for seasons.
Right.
They're not to be around all the time. And too often, we got some annuals in our life that's only supposed to be around for a period.
A season, right.
They're not perennials because they served their purpose during the time they were planted.
Now, see you.
And too often we're holding on to things that's supposed to be annual and they're dying on us. And we're still trying to hold on to some dead stuff. Family, I got that yesterday. There's some perennial things that we need to hold on to. But there's some annual things that's just for a season. just for a season, and we want to make them something that they're not. And God is saying, I'm doing a new thing in you. But see, that's where discernment comes in at. That's where being in prayer comes in at. That's where standing on the word of God, his truth. That's why it's so important. You only know what you know. See, but we serve an infinite God. He's not hiding anything from you. But he ain't going to give it to you unless you're mature enough to receive it. There's some things we've been asking God for that we ain't ready for yet.
Say that again.
Yet. We need to be a little bit more seasoned. There's some more maturity that has to happen in us. Family, this sounds like Jesus was speaking to the adulterous woman who was brought before the Pharisees. And too often, the enemy wants to convict us. He wants to condemn us. When God just wants to bring conviction to you. He wants you to just recognize what you're not doing right. And wants you to make a decision that I'm not condemning you. I just want you not to sin no more. I want to do a new thing in you. Family, when you're obeying God and doing your best, pressing towards the mark of a high calling. See, sin is just missing the mark. That's it. It's just missing the mark. And because we are finite, we're going to miss the mark sometimes. Definitely in this walk of life here on this earth. Because we only know what we know. The key is once you know better, you do better. Because then you ain't got no excuse. You're making a conscious choice that I'm going to do what I want to do.
Say that again.
With my spirit. You heard what I said?
I heard what you said. I heard that.
Not God's spirit. My spirit makes me feel good. And that's where that discernment comes in at.
You ain't
being
never
able to recognize God's spirit and your spirit. Your flesh and God's will on your life. Family. God is not looking, and I said this before, people playing church. That's lukewarm people. He ain't looking for no lukewarm people. He said you're either hot or cold. You see, there's no excuse when you know better. It is like walking a tightrope. And because you have the harness on, you want to play around. Because you think you got some security, you can just be lollygagging on that tightrope. This is our life. This is our life. And too often we play around because we got covering. And Jesus says in Matthew 4:7, don't tempt God. See, the enemy told him to jump. He told him to jump, but when the Lord sent the angels to cover you, to lift you up, he said, I will not tempt God. And too often, we continue to tempt God. We play in and out, in and out. Because I remember when I was in the world, I knew it was either you're going to be all the way in or all the way out. Because sooner or later, somebody gonna test if you really who you say you are.
Well.
And it's the same thing in the Word. The enemy gonna test you to see if you really who you say you are. If you say you really following Christ, they gonna throw some. He gonna throw some tests at you to see if he know your weakness. He know those areas that you're uncomfortable in. He gonna test you in those areas to see if you're standing on who you say God is in your life. Family. That harness is just to keep, to let you know that you're not going to fall to the bottom because you're covered. But it ain't for you to play around like something could possibly go wrong. You know, and that's the thing. See, God is our harness. Some of us know we was on a free fall to hell. I know I was. I know I was. Everything I was doing, even though I wasn't a bad kid, I wasn't a bad kid. But I wasn't operating in what God called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I was doing was leading me in the wrong direction. Until the point where I had to be still. And some of us had to be still. God had put some he had allowed. Because we weren't listening. We kept playing on the tightrope. See, because he never allows anything to happen to you without giving you a warning. Nothing happens without a warning. He gives you a warning before it happens. But what happened is, because we're not in relationship and not in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can't hear the warning. Are we too busy? We're too comfortable in the places that we're at that we don't want to move to where he's telling us to. And it caused friction. And then we get caught up and then we start stumbling and then we want to be mad at God or God's people. Sometimes we ain't even mad at God, we mad at other people. We start pointing the finger at them and making them the blame for why you're in the situation that you're in. And we forget about you still have a choice. We all still have a choice. Can you open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10? I came across this passage of scripture the other day, and not in Revelation, but in Malachi.
Can I get us a refrigerator back here?
Malachi chapter 3, verse 3.
And a little snack.
I'm just going to read that before we go to this scripture. And it says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver.
Hold on.
And he will purify the sons of Levi. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness.
What is he mean?
And I said, let me look this up. And when I began to look it up, and it talked about the purification of silver, and it said the silversmith sits right in the chair over the fire. He doesn't move. And he keeps that silver, he keeps that piece of metal over the hottest point of the fire. until all the impurities come out. But he doesn't move. He stays there with you under the heat. He's with you. God is with us in the heat, in those dark places, trying to purify us, trying to get all those impurities out of us. Because he wants us to be able to be in righteousness with him. Here it says, Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom, the dominion reign of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters has been thrown down at last. Say that again. Has been thrown down at last. Family, listen. We're coming to the last days. But I want you to know, he's already been thrown down. He's already under your foot.
He is.
He's already there. But he continues to dupe us.
True that.
To have us believing that he has more power than he has. The only power is the power that we give him.
Say it again.
Has been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before God day and night. You hear that? He brings sinful allegations to God about you day and night. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Oh, he's still on the first one.
Day and night, and they overcame and conquered him because of what? The blood of the Lamb. And because the word of who testimonies? Their testimony. Who are we talking about? He's talking about you and I. He's talking about you and I, our testimonies. Us overcoming the enemies, his accusations. Us being able to stand on God's truth and not bending. Knowing who we are. Not making annual perennials in our lives. Family. We already won. We won already. Are we still in the fight? Yes. Yes, we are. We're not going to have to stop fighting until he comes. Until he comes. Then we ain't got to fight no more. But he wants you to know that it's a fixed fight. The blood has already been shed. Now it's about your testimonies. It's about you overcoming. And you're here now because you already overcame some things. And I'm telling you, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, you're going to overcome that too. But not in yourself. In Christ. You know, when I was talking about my uncles and us, the nephews looking at our uncles in their 70s and 80s, and we like, yeah, man, I can't wait. There's some things that we're going to have to do differently to make it to there. See, for me, it's 30 more years to get there. It's only a minute.
My bones.
It's only a minute to God. But to us, because we got to go through it, seem a whole lot longer.
Yep, that's enough.
But the key is we already got victory. That's the key. We got victory. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. He said, they have already conquered. They have already overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the words of their testimony. Here it says witness. For they did not love, listen to this, they did not love their life and renounced their faith.
Round two.
And renounce their faith, even when faced with death. Even when faced with death. I was telling my uncle, I shared with my uncle because he was debating yesterday. He had a big old debate. He was at a church, my aunt's church, and the pastor said, women, you don't need no man to validate you.
That's the truth.
Said, you don't have to have no man in your life.
That's the truth.
So, when we go to the word says, man should not be alone.
That's the truth.
And when he went into Adam, he brought out his first lady. And when Adam woke up, he said, this is the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bone.
That's right.
Because God said man should not be alone.
That's the truth.
So, they both played a part in each other's life.
Yes, they do.
See, he didn't make us to be alone. Because when he was alone, there was misery going on. He seek. Everything God said was good until it came to Adam being alone. He said, that is not good. See, and what's happening is the enemy is going against the covenant of relationship.
Yes, you too.
And if he can go against the covenant of the relationship here on the earth, what happens to the covenant between you and him? Family, we're in a fight for our families. That first covenant. God wants us to have that covenant because if we can have it with one another, we definitely can have it with him. But if you think you don't need that partner, that I can be all right by myself, that's the same thing we begin to feel about God. And we miss the covenant relationship. Family, I say to you again, we are in a fixed fight. And he knows, the enemy knows it. However, he wants to convince us otherwise. That's why he continues to accuse us. Today I say to you, take accountability for you. Stop pointing outward and start pointing inward. Take your power back. God gave you dominion over the earth. Turn with me to Zechariah.
Zephaniah.
Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verse 17. And we're coming to a close in a minute. And here it says, everybody say amen, you got it? And it says here, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Shouts of joy, family. There's no condemnation in Christ. None. So all those things that you did in the past, don't allow the enemy to continue to accuse you of those things. The only way he can accuse you if you're still walking in him. I said, you give him the power. Take your power back. Take your power back. And I'm going to close with this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're ready to do a new thing. We're ready to be transformed. God is trying to transform some things in your life. But some things got to die. Some things got to die. And they got to die daily. There's some things holding on to you. Like anchors keeping you stuck. As I said, they're annuals in your life. They're not perennials. They might look good for a season, but they're going to die off. It says, so we, who? We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us. We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judiciously be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become righteousness, the righteousness of God. That is, we will be made acceptable to him and placed in the right relationship with him by his gracious, loving kindness. It's not by us. It's through Christ. It's through Christ in us that we become ambassadors, representatives. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. And this is how we represent Christ here on the earth. We are the ambassadors. So there's going to take some transformation to happen within us. In order for us to truly represent Christ here on the earth. And God is telling you, everything is already inside of you. He's already placed it there. But there's a maturity factor, there's a purification factor that has to go in place. Those things that you thought was going to keep you down back when, look at you now. And those same things that are trying to battle you today, you're going to be able to look back so long as you stick with that conviction of what God said about you. That where you at now, you're going to be able to smile and say, wow, how far have I come? Wow, how far have I come? And some of us can say it now. I know I can. I know I can. Thanks to God. Not because of me. There's no condemnation in Christ. That's my title today. None, no condemnation. Is there conviction? Yes. Yes. Because God wants you to be aware of where you're going wrong. And it's up to us to make a choice to do it differently. And where's the answer at? On how to do it differently? In His Word. Spending time in prayer. Jesus has opened the door for you and I to have an open door to God, to His Word. He was the example before us. For us. Or for us, for us. And it's through Him that we can walk in God's truth. Amen? Amen. There's no condemnation in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this word today, Father. I pray that everything that was spoken, Father God, represented you, Father God. Nothing of me, but everything of you, Father. I ask that when we leave this place, we do not leave your presence, Father God. Let that conviction, not condemnation, be upon us, Father God. To look at our lives and begin to do things differently than we used to do, Father God. We ask that you continue to just watch over us. Purify us like silver, Father God. Burn us. Burn those things that are not like you from us, Father God, so we can continue to grow and be more like you, Father God. And for this, we give you thanks. We give you the honor and we give you the glory, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let the house say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Was this word good for you?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So, as I said, there's no conviction, there's no